It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. So glad you're here. Today, we have somebody like a kindred spirit because we're going to be talking a bit about money myths and some of the stuff that's pumped into our heads. You know, we've got to watch out what's put in there because that's the stuff that usually comes out and may not be serving us really well. So, you know, what I talk about on this podcast is that sometimes we have to unlearn the things we thought were correct. And maybe at the end of the day, we're finding out that they're programming or propaganda. So let's at least find out other opinions and decide for ourselves. Today, we have the CEO of Urbe Wealth. She's a capital raiser, a syndicator, an author of a new book called Shattering Money Myths, How the Wealthy Invest. She recently retired and sold her insurance agency of 16 years by following the key principles that she teaches professionals to use. She teaches people to unlearn what most of us have been wired to think about money, right? And re-educating people on attaining lasting wealth. So let's welcome Stephanie Walter to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Welcome, Stephanie.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. Now, you make your way in life out of Colorado,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But you own properties around the country, right? Tell us how you became a property owner and maybe even weave in the insurance company angle in there. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, I started in the W-2 world, just like a lot of people, and realized probably within the first, you know, 2-3 years that I was getting a 2% raise every year, and went and was kind of disappointed because I just bought a house and spoke to my dad at the time and just said, Dad, I can't believe that I'm getting a 2% raise. Like, I worked that out for the rest of my life. And I just, you know, it's really depressing. And my dad, who's passed on, but he, at the time, he's an entrepreneur. And he said, well, you know what you're going to get if you keep working in the W-2 world, or if you decide to, you know, work on your own, you really, the limitations are up to you, you know? And so I quit my job. I gave my 2 weeks notice probably within the next week and became an insurance agent. I started buying rental properties. It was about the time of the crash. So there was steeply discounted single family homes that I was buying. And my mindset, which I can go into a little bit different or a little later, was my idea was I will buy these properties, hold them. It really doesn't matter how much they're cash flowing, just, you know, keep at it for 30 years until they're paid off. And then I will get this cash flow at the end of my retirement. And so that was my idea. And then I was invited to a boot camp in 2016 about buying apartment complexes. And that's when I first heard the term syndication, which is essentially just a group of people buying a piece of property. Basically, no one, you know, it's bigger than anyone could do on their own. And I just absolutely love this concept. And from that point on, I started raising money for my partner of doing syndications. And then by long way, I would talk to a lot of wealthy people that would be investing with me, and I would be looking at their financial statements, and I would be noticing that they're doing things differently than I've done or that most people I know are doing things. And that kind of made me rethink and really have to change my mindset. I really didn't know what it needed to be changed to, but working with them, I eventually figured out what I was doing. And then I just started mimicking the way that they were investing as I was investing. And within a fairly short period of time, you know, three or four years, I was able to sell my agency because I had replaced my passive income at that time. Right. And now I'm not really retired because I love what I do, which is telling people about how to do the same thing.
Well, it sounds like you've had a couple of really formative mentorship type of experiences in your life? One sounds like your dad was a wise guy beyond his years and steered you in the right direction by just making you, you know, question the programming that you had at a time, which is, you know, for most people, it's, you know, go from high school to college and, you know, get a degree so you can get a nice job and have 2.4 kids and a dog and then live happily ever after until you're 67 years old when you can cash in your 401k and everything is perfect. But as a lot of people have recognized, that is, that programming doesn't really work for many people for a lot of reasons. So we can get into some of those. And then you had the fortune to run into some people that showed you how to do multifamily. And then the third part of that is that, you know, kudos to you, reach around and slap yourself on the back and give yourself a kudos because you actually decided that you were not going to be a victim, but you learned from these people that were doing things and they taught you some stuff, right? And so you were able to learn a few tips and techniques about what they were doing. So I love the fact that that's the setup for where we're going here, right? Is that we sometimes need to stand on the giants, the shoulders of the giants that came before us. And it sure sounds like that's what you've done. And you've really, you seem like a methodical person. So you've really set out to push a methodology through to your retirement. So let's talk about what are some of those myths that you've learned about how normal people do things and maybe how wealthy people, who are also probably normal people, but how they do things a little bit differently. What are some of those things?
Well, the first one I would say definitely comes back to mindset. And they view, wealthy people view money in a utilization mindset, which means their money is working for them right now at all times. They can tell you what any of their investment, what is cash flowing, what their tax ramifications are, any of those things. Their money is actually one of their employees that's working for them. And that is a big mindset change, as opposed to me. Even when I was buying my rental properties, I was viewing things as most people do via the lens of accumulation. So we're just going to accumulate and let it sit, you know, and it doesn't matter about, you know, if it's providing any tax benefits or if it's providing any cash flow, basically. We'll just wait. You know, a lot of people view their 401k in that same manner. They have no control over, you know, this asset. They kind of give it to all the professional people and then they don't think anymore about it until it's time to use it. And that's not what the wealthy do.
So you, I don't know if you've listened to my show, but one of the things that everybody that is listening or watching the show knows is that I say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. And so many people do, they give up their power in their wealth, at least to somebody that they think has more knowledge than them. But if they really go beneath the surface, they may realize that those people may not have more knowledge, but they just are better salespeople, right? And so they're with a big firm, and the firm, is their job is to make sure that the firm doesn't get sued. So they're not going to put you in anything risky. They're going to give you a nice average return, make sure that they get paid. And that's fine. People are allowed to get paid in this world. And then through all that, at the end of it, you end up with an average return. And so people like you and people like, you know, your investors and syndicated partners, you guys figure out, okay, look, there are better ways to make money. There are other ways. And I'm not saying they're all better, and I'm not saying 401ks and the stock market's bad. I'm a big stock market guy. That's one of my things. Mm-hmm. But you got to learn all of the different things that are out there. Now, real estate may or may not be complicated, right? Probably that first deal you did to buy your first single family home, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
You know, you bought a single family home. How? That's not that hard, right? Yeah. But it was probably terrifying.
Yes.
Right? The first time. And then you got through it. And the second time it was easier. And then you said, well, I can do this doing multifamily. And that's how it happens, everybody, is you learn step by step. And when you have a mentor, when you have influences in your life, you can sure learn a lot. So that's amazing. Mindset, which I talk about all the time on this show, mindset is 90% of investing. So I love that you started with that. And then you said something really critical, and I just want to summarize it. And that is, make your money become an employee for you. Make it work for you, right?
Yes.
Now you got, you're working, you got your employee working. Maybe if you have multiple employees, they're working. And that's how people get wealthy, right?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
What's another thing that you learned along this road?
I think the biggest one is that high risk. People believe that in order to make money, they have to invest in high risk thing investments. So I didn't mention this, but when I was an insurance agent, I actually had my Series 6 and 7.
Okay.
And I often share this with people that I, for me anyways, there's not a lot of training that happened. They're like, okay, these are the funds you need to do. You need to figure out what their risk tolerance is, and then you put them in these different mutual funds is pretty much what they were selling, what we were supposed to be selling. But at the end of the day, that there came that crash, and yet I had no knowledge beforehand that this was going to happen. Nor did anyone who I worked with really, know that anything like this was going to happen. So to me, I felt like I didn't have a grasp, and there's too much responsibility to watch people's money. And I felt very, it's very uncontrolled.
Yes.
So that's why I stepped out of that, role. But the I completely. Oh, but okay. So yes, you're taught to do that, high risk equals high return. Well, I meet wealthy people, and that is the furthest thing from what they believe. They believe that they want asymmetrical returns. So
That's it.
they want returns that far exceed, what their investment is, and it's tied to being very low risk. And the reason it's low risk is that these wealthy people invest in people, in businesses, in teams in which they know what their business plan is, what their experience level is, and therefore they do the due diligence so that they know, what they're putting their money to, and that, they strive for those asymmetrical returns. And I often ask people, okay, so you're invested in your 401k. What are you invested in? I
Yeah.
mean, what companies are you invested in? What are those companies' strategies? What's the CEO of the company? What sort of experience do they have? They see, these are questions that wealthy people know the answers to.
Hey, it's Mark Yeagy, author of this book on covered calls, here to tell you about my cash flow machine trading program that's designed to show you how I make safe, reliable income. Now, I shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income in my portfolio, and we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of it is that it only takes me about 20 minutes a week, maybe to an hour to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month may not sound like much, I show you exactly how I took my IRA from $111,000 to over $700,000 in just 23 months without huge risk. Yes, I got a little lucky, I gotta say. But I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io, or better yet, go to this link to get access to videos and masterclasses that explain the entire process, the risks and rewards even more. See you there. Right. I have a saying that, and I think I stole it from Warren Buffett, so I'm not going to take credit for it. Maybe I will. But it's, diversify among assets and concentrate within assets. So Warren Buffett, one of the greatest investors of our time, he has most of his billions of dollars in his fund invested in eight companies. Like 78% is invested in eight companies. And so if that's a model that we can learn from, and it's, the saying is, just know what you're investing in, right? Put your eggs in one basket and watch that basket very carefully. But most people, what they do is they over diversify. They buy too many mutual funds. A mutual fund's already diversified. Then they buy five different kinds, one for high growth and one for mid growth, one for low growth, one for income and one for gold or whatever. And so they're just, all they do is get an average return. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. It probably doesn't even beat inflation, because what most people don't realize, and I know you do, and you, because we were in the business, it sounds like number one, they don't have a strategy for what happens when things go down and people's money is at risk and nobody has a strategy. They don't teach it. They didn't teach me a strategy. They told me, taught me how to sell.
Yes.
They didn't teach me what happens when it goes down. They say, oh, just make them buy more. Wow. Mm-hmm. So that was always a big deal. And then if you diversify or over diversify, when you pay that mutual fund, that mutual fund is getting paid. They have beautiful buildings in Boston, most of them. And, you know, they all drive nice cars. Somebody's paying for that. You know who it is? It's the customer, right? So that's that. And know where you're, that's a beautiful piece of advice, is know what you're investing in and know why you're investing in it. And you can't possibly know what's going on in 500 companies if you're in some mutual fund that has that. So you've got to kind of back up and say, what do I want to be invested in? Do I want to be in really good companies and really bad companies all mixed together? Or do I want to just be invested in really good companies? Mm-hmm. So that's really, really good stuff. And that asymmetric risk is so key. That's what I find so many people in this space, and the wealth architect travels that I run across people, they're always looking for asymmetric risk. I want to invest $100, but I want the opportunity to make $300 with a small opportunity of losing. So that's that. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. What else? What else? Let's give us one more nugget, because I know you wrote a book about it and there's lots of the stuff that we can talk about.
Oh, let's see. I think my favorite chapter actually is the last one, and it addresses taxes.
I was just going to ask about taxes.
Yeah. And that every wealthy person I'm with is understanding the tax ramifications of their investment, either the write-offs or, you know, any future taxes they will have. And that is a plan that they have for their, you know, future investments, for their retirement. They have that in place, whereas the average person is just told to just put your money aside. When you retire, you're gonna, you know, probably be in a lower tax bracket,
right?
And
and
just, you know, viewing, actually that chapter goes into, you know, just the history of taxes and that we are in historically low tax rates. And you need to really figure that in. There needs to be some tax planning that goes along with your retirement or your investing. And that is something they're always mitigating. The wealthy are always mitigating their taxes. And that's huge, because taxes can be a huge, or I think it's the largest eroder of wealth there is.
Yeah. I think it's the biggest check you ever pay in your life is to the government. If you add up all the taxes that you pay, not just to the federal government, but then you spend 5, 6, 7, 8% on the local level, you pay state taxes, you pay property taxes, we got utility taxes and all kinds of taxes on our phone bills. So there's just tax upon tax upon tax. And so that is an important thing to get your brain around. And real estate affords you some really great opportunities to take advantage of some depreciation, which is a tax benefit, and other things. But, you know, you touched on something that I want to go into, and that is, you know, people invest in, you know, 401ks, for example, I think you might be on the same page with Robert Kiyosaki that don't invest in 401ks. Why is that?
Well, lots of reasons. One, I mean, if it's someone that's investing like 90% of the people out there, they're being put into mutual funds. Yes. Most people, I think 92% of people don't even know they're being charged fees. And so as they said, I think Albert Einstein said the greatest miracle is compounding interest, but what they're not figuring out is that there's compounding fees that take the returns away from people. And that's what I believe.
Yeah, so there's compounding interest, which makes investments go up. Now, in a lot of cases, it's just basically a hedge against inflation.
Yes.
You have to really achieve a real rate of return to be ahead of inflation, but that's a different issue. And then there's also, cuts both ways, right? If you have fees that come right off the top, that cuts against you. And in 401ks, you have limited amounts of things to invest in, right? And you have fees that go into it. So that's kind of two things that make 401ks kind of go against you. It's better to maybe take control of your own money.
Yes. To handle it now you can, you know, do self. I know a lot of my investors are starting to take advantage of the self-directed IRA. And I think that's a great thing, you know, taking more control. But the 401k there, most people are advocating the control of their finances, which, as you said very nicely, you should always have control. That wasn't the case, you know, that many years ago. The 401k has only been around since the early 80s. People used to, you know, use their common sense and take more active role in their finances. I find people just, here's my money. I don't want any part of it. I just spoke to a woman a couple days ago, and she's like, she'd gotten this inheritance from her father, and the market had lost. So it had gone from $1 million to $750,000. She's like, and my financial planner's just, you know, say, put more money in, just put more money in. And it's just like, oh boy, you know.
Well, that's what they're trained to do. And that's what most people do. But I don't know about you, but I use money pretty much every day. Uh-huh. And so I want to know about it, right? And I'll never know everything about it, but it's as simple or as complicated as you want to make it. But you know what? Most people never just, they put their head in the sand and they trust somebody else. So take control, everybody. You know, there's ways to learn. There's people like Stephanie that are going to teach you, and they'll teach you what to look for and some of the pitfalls that you should know about, and, you know, maybe try to avoid. Now, I want to ask you a question about kind of what you do now. You put together multifamily deals, different kind of real estate deals from what I understand. So talk about what syndication is. What does that mean? You mentioned it at the top of the call here that it was putting a group of people together, but what is it? What does it actually look like? Let's maybe take us through a deal.
Sure. Well, we purchase, my partner and I are, he is in Florida. He finds off market deals. And we do, basically, we're the professional team that manages the deal. So we go in, we find the deal, we negotiate the deal, we get the financing for the deal. We do all the due diligence. We find a property that's going to, you know, return the returns that our investors are used to seeing now. And we do all the logistics. We run the deal and everything like that. Then we go out to our group of investors or a group of investors and ask them to invest with us. Now they come in as solely passive investors. I know people hear this and they're like, oh yeah, I was a passive investor on my rental property. No, there's absolutely nothing that's required from you. All you have to do is if you want to review the reports that we send out every month, and then cash the check that comes in every month for your cash flow distribution. All of our investors are A class investors. So that means after income and expenses, they are paid first. And they get a distribution that's paid to them every month. And then for each property, we have a business plan of what we're wanting to do with what we want to achieve. Whether that takes 3, 5, 7 years, we have a crystal clear view of what we're wanting to do. And then we exit out of the deal in that period of time and return our investors. At this time, we've done 12 deals, 12 syndications, and each one is returned 20% or more a year. And that is net after fees. So
that's great. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. So you mentioned a couple things in there that I want to unpack. And one of those is that your investors are A-class investors. So I'm curious about this. You said, if I can paraphrase, that after expenses, you know, income minus expenses, then the A-class investors are paid first and then everybody else is paid after that. But can't you, as the person that puts the deal together, just write yourself a big old check and say, well, this year we're doing a big management fee and then there's basically no profit left in the company. So the A-class investors get nothing. Can you do that?
I suppose someone could do that, but they're not going to have any return investors after that. So, just like anything else, it's important to vet, the people that you're working with, to know that they have experience, to talk to people that are actively investing in the deals. But our operating agreement really goes over all fees that we can take out. What our fees are all spelled out ahead of time. And so, no, I mean, according to our operating agreement, there's no, like one time amount we could write for ourselves.
Okay, just curious because there's a lot of people that put deals together and then they're disappointed on the other side. I know I invested in a company, I don't know, probably 20 years ago now, put in I think $75,000, and then a year later they went out and did a money raise and diluted all their prior investors, all their A class investors down to 1% from 20% of the company. And so as a minority shareholder, you really don't have a lot of pull and say in how they do that. So I was just wondering how you can protect, against that from happening. And it sounds like a lot of this is, well, you want to get investors down the road, so you're not going to do that. But there's probably ways that you can that it's phrased and you have disclosures up front. So it's just an interesting question.
We have a PPM,
Yes.
which is a private placement
Thank
agreement,
you.
and then we have
Operating
our
agreement.
operating agreement, and then we file all of our information through the SEC. So we all of our promises to our investors are put down in writing, and then that's filed with the SEC. So if we ever don't meet, we haven't ever been in that situation, but
Yeah.
certainly we didn't meet those expectations. There is that regulation
Now,
degree.
is that a requirement that you need to file that with the SEC?
Not everybody does it,
Right.
but yes, for us, it's a no question. It's
I
just
hear very few people in the real estate syndication business talking about filing a schedule with the SEC. Very rare. So that's great that you do that. That's an extra layer of protection for investors. And it does lo lower that risk. So that's really interesting. How is it that we started talking about taxes for a little bit? How can you set up a tax-free environment in your later years? How maybe using some of the things that you know now or some of the deals that you do? How can you set
Well,
that?
that information came to me, within the last few years, actually, because I was an insurance agent for 16 years, and
Sure.
I'd never heard of there are insurance instruments that can be used to generate tax-free income.
Sure.
Very valid, very, great things that these policies can do if they're set up right. Now, most people are like, oh no, Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman tell me, whole life or any kind of life policy, permanent life is just a waste of money. And that's certainly not the case. In fact, the policies I'm talking about, the very wealthy, the people that deal with the very wealthy do them on a regular basis. And they're called premium financing insurance. I have my uncle who's been an agent for I think 60 years now, and I asked him if he'd ever heard of premium financed insurance. He said no. So really what the premium financed insurance is, if you have enough net worth, you can approach the insurance company, which will go and approach bank, and you're able to leverage in. Basically, the bank will pay probably 3 to 1 your insurance premiums. And you do this so that basically you can stock up, leverage in into a policy and let it grow. Most of and people are like, well, I might be too old. Actually, the average person's about 50 that writes up one of these policies, and they provide tremendous double digit returns. I guess I could
That's
go
amazing.
into all the details, but
Yeah.
it's quite it's basically they're using leverage,
Yeah.
to build up the value in this policy. And then this particular policy gets all the upside of the market and no downside of the market. And so by doing that, just think of it like a house. And so say the house is worth $1 million, but you personally only have 100,000 in the house. Okay. Yes. And so when they take the value, say the market went up 7%, you don't get 7% on the 100,000, you get 7% on the million. So that's why this strategy is very powerful. And you basically, up until a few years ago, this was really saved for people that had that net worth of over 10 million. And now it's becoming more and more available. Maybe not quite the leverage. People that have $5 million can still leverage in at probably 3 to 1. Then less than that, about a million, can still have a nice leverage in the deal. But
sounds like there's some details and some things that people need to learn about that. So
yep. There's a chapter in my book.
Yeah.
That goes into it.
Yeah. I love it. You are a wealth of knowledge on all things wealth. And, you know, you've got an interesting background from series 6 and 7, which is selling insurance and selling, you know, stock market instruments and mutual funds, to, you know, how you can use those insurance policies to real estate. So you've got a breadth of knowledge around a lot of things. And I find that people that are generalists, but specific inside the general categories, in other words, they diversify among asset classes, but then they specifically go really deep, are people that are people I want to learn from. So you sound like somebody I want to learn from. But what about people that are watching the Wealth Architect podcast and listening? How can they find out a little bit more about you and maybe stay in touch with you? How can they do that?
Yeah, you can go to my website, which is www.airbaywealth.com. And I have a book that I just wrote, and you can click on and get a copy of that. And then you'll be added to my database where I communicate, you know, probably every couple of weeks, I go over some new stuff that's going on. And as well as if we have any new deals, you would be notified there.
I love it. So it's Erbay Wealth. If you're driving, it's ERBE and then wealth.com. And if you can remember this and you don't, you know, you want to write it down, it's Shattering-Money-Myths. That's the name of her book. So if you want to put that whole thing in there, but I think there's a link on erbaywealth.com, which is great. She's got a new book out. It's about money myths and all the programming that we have. And I just, you know, she's touched on a few of them. And Stephanie, I think some of the things that you talked about today are really good gold nuggets for a lot of people. So I want to thank you for your time and your wisdom and for being here on the Wealth Architect podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's been my pleasure. I loved learning a few things from you today. So listen, everybody, thank you again for being here. And remember what I always say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, everybody. See you next time. Take care. You've been listening to the Wealth Architect podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.